Stay tuned after the show for a message from Nokia.
Every time I hear the title Operation Warp Speed, I know I'm supposed to think of Star Trek.
Warp drive, Mr. Scott. Ahead, warp one, Mr. Sulu.
Accelerating to warp one, sir.
Of zooming off and going so fast that you're across the galaxy in what seems like just a few minutes before a commercial break. But every time I hear the title Operation Warp Speed and the way that President Trump talks about the timeline, which sometimes seems to get faster and faster when he talks about it, I can't help but think about the sci-fi parody Spaceballs.
Prepare ship for ludicrous speed. Fasten all seatbelts.
Where the bad guys decide to go so fast, they end up going at, quote, ludicrous speed during the movie.
My brains are going into my feet! Oh.
It did not end well for them.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, Dan Diamond on whether President Trump's warp speed effort to develop a coronavirus vaccine is going to end well for us.
Operation Warp Speed is the joint health military effort to speed a vaccine, treatments, therapies, out in the handful of perhaps just a few months. The official goal is January 21 for having a COVID-19 vaccine widely available. At this point, I understand that the team has narrowed down the number of candidates to somewhere between 5 and 8. There are 2 vaccines that are especially close to late-stage clinical trials. They are trying to do what has never been done before. The mumps vaccine is the fastest on record. It took 4 years. What the Trump administration is suggesting is that perhaps this vaccine effort will take 8 or 9 months. It began back in April, and the president has even suggested the vaccine might be ready by Election Day. So it is moving at a speed that is unprecedented, and the way that they are trying to get there is by having production of the vaccine ramp up even before the final candidate is selected. So there will be many doses that could be thrown away because the wrong vaccine was perhaps produced, but it will be ready to go as soon as the scientists feel like they've settled on the right candidate.
Are the people you've spoken to inside of the administration working on this confident that they can pull this off?
They are super confident, and I think there are a couple of reasons for that. One, this effort is better organized than some of the early coronavirus fumbling that we saw in public and definitely in private. For instance, back in January, February, and March, there were different teams in the White House jockeying for influence. Even after the effort became more formalized in March and into April with different task forces and teams, sometimes those groups ran into each other in ways that weren't helpful to the response. Operation Warp Speed is much more rigorously set up. As officials told me, there's a clear chain of command. The military has brought over its logistics experts, which was a big takeaway from the earlier response that you need people who are really specialized in ramping up production at this pace and nationally. So they have reasons that they say this is going to be much more efficient and effective than the previous work. But I also think, Jeremy, there's a chance they're pinning a lot of hope on this. They are confident because they need to be confident. The coronavirus response so far has gone really poorly in America. We are an outlier for all the wrong ways. And that makes the vaccine even more important in the thinking of these officials, because once it arrives, it will cover up a lot of the problems that we have. Unfortunately, I don't think we can count on the vaccine arriving, and certainly not on the timeline that they have publicly set out.
Your reporting on this has focused on some of the dangers and pitfalls of the Trump administration potentially rushing the production of a vaccine too quickly. But I gotta ask, isn't Trump totally right here? Like, we do need a vaccine if we're gonna fight the coronavirus, right? Why not rush it?
I talked to a number of virologists, health officials, top administration people for this story. Everybody wants a vaccine. The question is the president being realistic about it? Luciana Borio was the top acting FDA scientist a few years ago. She then moved over to the pandemic preparedness team in the White House. Now she's out of the Trump administration. She made the point that we might not get a vaccine at all. Vaccine development is historically fraught. Peter Hotez, a virologist down in Texas, pointed out to me that the early vaccines might also just be limited value. Maybe they will inhibit symptoms, but we'll still be able to spread the virus to each other. The more robust vaccines are probably going to arrive in years and years to come. The early vaccines might take a few doses, a few injections. So we'll probably have to get beyond whatever comes out of Operation Warp Speed. And what is making folks so nervous is a scenario where President Trump is publicly berating officials to go faster, or he's questioning the science like we saw with malaria drugs, hydroxychloroquine, a few months ago. They just want the president and his team to level with the public that a vaccine, while absolutely the right aspiration, might not be the magic bullet that ends the crisis in a handful of months.
What are the risks of developing a vaccine too quickly?
Some of the risks of the vaccine can't really be known until it goes through trials or even when we start to see the long-term effects. If you look back at the 1970s, there was an effort to fight the swine flu with a widespread vaccine under President Gerald Ford. That effort went wrong. There were people who suffered from the vaccine and led to some fears of government vaccination after that. So if a vaccine comes too quickly and the science isn't there to back it up, that's a legitimate fear. I also think one risk isn't the vaccine itself. It's the risk that too many Americans reject a vaccine. That's something that infectious disease expert Tony Fauci, Surgeon General Jerome Adams have both warned about.
A lack of trust of authority, a lack of trust in government, and a concern about vaccines in general.
That there needs to be a comprehensive education campaign in the weeks and months ahead to get people ready to go and get vaccinated when the vaccine is finally here.
We need to engage the community by boots on the ground and getting community, particularly those populations that have not always been treated fairly by the government, minority populations, African Americans, Latinx, and Native Americans.
And if that vaccine is seen to be a political product of President Donald Trump, there will be some Americans who likely have skepticism. The president's earlier bout with malaria drugs made a lot of people nervous not to take those malaria drugs because it was seen as a cynical political ploy. But more broadly, we live in a moment of creeping anti-science about healthcare messages. There are public health officials facing death threats and intimidation, so much so that dozens have resigned during the crisis. But again, try gently asking someone who refuses to wear a mask why he isn't doing it. And trust me, because I've tried, the effort to get people to take a vaccine is going to be much bigger than simply developing the vaccine. And the faster it comes and the less infrastructure we have around that public education campaign, the harder it might be to get to the herd immunity that we need.
All right, let's say in the next few months, we have a vaccine. Are you going to take it?
I mean, you just heard me rattle off the risks of rushing. Would you take it?
I'm asking the question here. No. I think I'd ask you first if you think I should, and then I'd do it.
Okay. I'd really want to know where someone like Tony Fauci comes down. Dr. Fauci has shown integrity. He is a career government servant who's been in the job for 50 years. He has publicly vowed that he is not going to let a vaccine get out the door unless he firmly stands behind it. And he may be the number one health official in the government who can say no to Donald Trump. If Tony Fauci is getting vaccinated, I feel a lot better about the vaccine. If Tony Fauci is out on the street because the Trump administration kicked him out to get the vaccine out the door, I'm going to think twice before taking that product and putting it into my body.
So I guess the chain reaction is Fauci says take it, Dan takes it, Dan says take it, Jeremy takes it.
Dan, as a public health reporter, wants to be careful not to endorse or direct too many things. But I do think Tony Fauci is trusted for a reason. I just was looking at poll data last night about who the American public believes has handled this coronavirus crisis the best. Fauci's at the top of the list. 62% of Americans, according to a Politico Morning Consult poll, think that he has done an excellent or a good job. On the other end of the spectrum, 49% of Americans think the president has done a poor job. So if you've got Tony Fauci out there doing salesmanship for this vaccine, practically that's a very different message than Donald Trump standing up at a podium and being the only person saying take it. If they're all saying take it, that's the best chance to reach all the corners of America who are only choosing select officials to listen to.
Dan Diamond, thanks so much for talking with me.
Jeremy, thanks for having me.
Also today,
I'm all for masks. I think masks are good. I would wear, if I were in a group of people and I was close.
President Trump is changing his messaging on the use of face masks to prevent the spread of coronavirus. In an interview with Fox News, the president said he would have no problem wearing one in public, despite avoiding being pictured with one during the pandemic.
I mean, I'd have no problem. Actually, I had a mask on. I sort of liked the way I looked. Okay, I thought it was okay. It was a dark black mask, and I thought it looked okay. It looked like the Lone Ranger.
The move marks a significant departure from Trump's previous comments about masks and comes after several Republican leaders joined Democrats in calling for all Americans to wear them. Recommendations from the CDC say people should wear cloth face coverings in public because they can help stop people who have coronavirus from spreading it. And the House has passed a sweeping climate-friendly infrastructure bill, but it's unlikely to be signed into law as written. The measure gives $1.5 trillion for everything from roads to schools to broadband, and includes emissions reductions and more funding than usual for Democratic priorities like transit and electric vehicle charging. The legislation was crafted with virtually no Republican involvement, and GOP leaders have criticized the process as partisan. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell called the measure pure fantasy, and the White House has indicated it would veto the bill. While it's virtually dead upon arrival in the Senate, some core elements of the bill are basically guaranteed to survive, and the measure sure to set some talking points for both parties in the run-up to the November election. The Politico Dispatch production team this week included Jenny Ament and Sudeep Reddy. Our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. We're going to be away on Friday and Monday, but we'll be back with you on Tuesday. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.
We are in an era of discovery where today's tech breakthroughs keep our country strong for the future. As a leader in American innovation, Nokia helps drive 5G and push progress for our nation. Powered by the iconic Nokia Bell Labs, Nokia continues to accelerate the future of U.S. connectivity by delivering solutions both from and for America. Learn more at nokia.com/opentomore.